Hey, this is Rocky Mountain Cold Cases. I'm Rachel and that's Adam.
I'm Adam and that's Rachel.
I got another random fact for you.
Okay.
Okay, this one is actually from Cosmopolitan. My favorite is that it's 50 plus random fun facts to have on hand at your next dinner party.
It is Thanksgiving. We're recording on the day of Thanksgiving, so
well,
dinner parties.
The fact that I found was holiday inspired.
Okay.
Since the holidays are here and near.
That makes sense.
Nutmeg is a hallucinogen.
But how, you have to take a ton of
it. It doesn't say how much, but it does say the spice contains myristicin, a natural compound that has mind-altering effects if ingested in large doses.
Myristicin.
So yeah, that's your fun fact for today.
That's crazy.
So when you're making those pies, I think pumpkin pie has nutmeg.
Does it? I don't know.
Don't make it a hallucinogenic pumpkin pie.
I'm not a baker, so not a big baker.
Yeah, I believe you.
I make banana bread, kid.
I've never had your banana bread.
I know.
Because I make good banana bread.
Hmm. Okay.
Should we jump into it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are in Montana today.
Montana.
And before I start the actual story, I needed to drop some pertinent knowledge on you.
Okay.
Do you, in all your knowledge of true crime, know anything about the issue with Indigenous women going missing?
So anyway, yeah, if you remember right, I think, I don't know, on the Rachel Runyon case, it reminded me of the guy that I was stationed with in Alaska.
Yeah.
So I'm not like super familiar with Indigenous like stories, I guess, but I know that it felt like in Alaska, like it was common that that happened or that they would go missing easy. Just because it was almost like the system doesn't care that they go disappearing.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues with it.
Which is pretty sad.
Yeah, no, for sure. So this story does involve an Indigenous person. So there is a website called theywerehere.com. This person's story is featured on it. And they are quoted in saying, quote, "In Montana, Indigenous women and girls make up only 3-4% of the population, but they account for approximately 30% of those deemed missing by the Montana Department of Justice."
That's a pretty significant number, like uptick from, they're 3%, you said 3%, correct?
They make 3-4% of the population in Montana, but are 30% of the missing people in Montana.
That's insane.
It's a lot of missing Indigenous people in Montana.
So I didn't get my head wrapped around like 3% or what 3% was until a couple, almost like a few months ago. And I say this because like joining the army, they're like, oh, you're 1% of the population. And I didn't really like thought about it. But then it was like, it wasn't until I thought about like my graduating class of high school being like 300 people. And there was about 3 or 5 of us that like joined. So it's like, oh, so like 1 in every 100 person or like 3 in every 100 people is Indigenous. Now take into account like 100 people that go missing, 30 of those. So
yeah,
for anyone that's not great at math, I just helped you out with that one.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Time will tell. There's also an ABC News article that states, quote, "In 2016, there were nearly 6,000 Indigenous women reported missing, yet only 116 were logged in the National Missing Persons Database, according to the Urban Indian Health Institute." So if the 6,000 were missing, only 116 were actually in the Missing Person Database.
Whoa.
Yeah. I didn't say why, but like, I know because if they're adults, you know, we talked about people reporting them missing and people are like, well, they have a right to go missing if they want to. And so I think sometimes the cases aren't taken seriously because who knows? Maybe they started a new life.
I'm really on this math thing right now. So like you said 116 went missing of 1,000.
Of 6,000.
Of oh, well, maybe I'm not on this math thing.
No, numbers are hard.
So, holy crap. That's like a point. Not, I don't even know.
That same ABC News article also said, quote, according to the United States Justice Department, Native American women are 10 times more likely to be murdered than non-Native women.
Wait, say that again? What?
According to the United States Justice Department, Native American women are 10 times more likely to be murdered than non-Native women.
That's insane.
It's a very staggering statistic there. I got another number statistic for you.
Okay, now I'm like lost in numbers. I'm not doing great. So
well, so this one kind of helps understand why the reservations are having a problem with locating the missing women. Not necessarily why they're missing, but like locating them. The Blackfoot Nation, which is in Montana, their reservation is 1.5 million acres. And in 2018, had just 17 tribal police to patrol 1.5 million acres. The lack of officers is largely due to underfunding. My goodness, I can talk. The BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, is funded through contracts with the federal government and is known for being chronically underfunded. Mm-hmm. So there's no funding to get them the many officers they need. And then to further complicate the issue...
They really defunded the police there.
Ooh, I mean, not in that same movement.
I know. I'm just saying.
But here's what also complicates the issue. There is also the issue of jurisdictions. So because reservations are kind of seen as separate in a way. Mm-hmm. So there are actually three governments when it comes to tribal land. There is the federal government, the state government, and tribal governments. Because three governments are at play, it can easily complicate things and cause miscommunications over, like, well, that's in your jurisdiction or my jurisdiction.
Oh, so a lot of people like passing the buck when it comes yes. to the case. They're like, mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with this. This isn't my problem. This is your problem.
Yes. So, and then there is also a Supreme Court ruling and acts of Congress that allow tribes to only persecute their own tribe members with a crime that happens on the reservation. So, if someone not from their tribe commits a crime, they have to get outside help to deal with it. So if you went on a reservation and murdered somebody, according to where I found this, which I can't remember where it is right now, but it is in the show notes, they're saying that if you went and murdered somebody on a reservation, the reservation would have to get outside help, which would probably be from the state police or the FBI to persecute you. The tribal police could not.
Really?
Yeah. Then it goes on even further. According to ABC News, most tribes cannot charge anyone, so a member of the reservation or not, with major crimes such as murder or rape, and instead have to have the FBI or BIA to take the case. I don't know why.
Wow.
But they're very limited.
And the FBI is like so busy and has their hands full with so many other things that they're like, whatever.
Yep. So there's your fun facts that are a little bit useful for this case. So this person's name is Ashley Loring Heavyrunner. She was born November 23rd, 1996, and lived on the Blackfeet Nation Reservation in Montana. She grew up on her grandfather's ranch and loved riding horses and helping others. Her sister, Kimberly, reports that Ashley was interested and concerned in the issue of the large number of Indigenous women going missing. She wanted to help bring awareness to the issue.
Our girl that goes missing was concerned about this issue.
Yes. So, in a horrible twist of fate, she's helping to bring awareness by her own case.
She didn't do that on purpose, right?
As far as we know. Okay. No.
All right.
So Ashley was planning on moving in with her sister Kimberly in Missoula, Montana. At the time of Ashley's disappearance, Kimberly was on a trip in Morocco. Kimberly returned to Montana June 8th of 2017. When she returned, she was unable to get a hold of Ashley. At first, that wasn't concerning, as Ashley was prone to losing her cell phone. Mm. Ashley's mom, Loxie, was also out of town when Ashley disappeared. She returned home on June 12th, 2017. When Loxie returned home, she found out no one had seen Ashley, nor could anyone get a hold of her for about a week. Loxie then reported Ashley missing that same day to the Blackfeet law enforcement.
The same day that was in the week, right? So like after day, a week.
The same day mom came home. So June 12th is when mom reported her missing.
Okay.
Early searches by the family and authorities did not lead anywhere, and it would take 2 months before the Bureau of Indian Affairs, or the BIA, would seriously investigate the disappearance. So mom told the Blackfeet law enforcement that Ashley's missing. 2 months later, the BIA would finally be like, all right, this girl's missing.
Wow, that's okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like, what's this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to ABC News, in a Senate hearing in 2018, Senator Stephen Daines is reported saying, quote, does it seem like protocol is being followed when there was a 2 month lag time between when she went missing and when the BIA began investigations, unquote. The BIA representative Charles Addington responded, quote, no, and I think there's got to be a lot better coordination at the beginning, unquote. That's all you had to say about it. That seems like a problem. We'll try to communicate better.
Wow.
There was a journalist named Rachel Crow Spreading Wings. She looked into the case at the beginning stages when she heard about the case from social media. She found out that there wasn't an official missing persons report on Ashley until June 27th. So mom reports her missing June 12th. June 27th is when there's an official report.
Wow.
There's a lot of time lost and wasted.
Yeah.
You seem quite speechless.
Well, it's just, it's like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Like, I just trying to like wrap my hand around all that. So like she wouldn't answer the phone call from what point in time?
From Kimberly, when Kimberly got back in town June 8th.
June 8th. So from the 8th to the 12th, she didn't. So if we want to take that into consideration, like even that much more time has been like,
right,
you know,
yeah, it gets a little bit worse. The last confirmed day Ashley was seen was June 5th.
Wow.
She had asked some friends for a ride into Browning to hang out with other friends and attended a party that night.
So, okay, so. But her case file or whatever went like 2 months, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, until from the 12th. Until the, yeah. So the 5th was the last time she was seen. Her sister tried to get a hold of her June 8th when the sister came back into the country.
Right.
Couldn't get a hold of her. Mom came back into town June 12th. Nobody had seen or heard from her. And that same day, June 12th, she filed her as a missing person. However, there wasn't an official report of her missing until June 27th.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tips came into law enforcement from people seeing a Facebook post about Ashley's disappearance. One tip came in from someone who claimed they had seen a woman running from a car on a busy road on the reservation. Several weeks after Ashley went missing, a family friend found a torn sweater and a pair of boots that appeared to be stained with blood. Ashley's family sent the sweater to the BIA for testing, but later found out the sweater was placed in storage and never sent for testing.
Oh, like... Wow. Okay.
I couldn't find any updates on if that was still the case. So I'm assuming that it is either not tested or...
still not tested.
Or in the process of being tested. So because sometimes they'll send the stuff to be tested and it takes a hot minute. But the last report I saw, the most current one I saw, was that it was still unknown if it was tested or not.
How long is that good for, like...
Depends how well you preserve it.
Oh, so it just tossed in the closet like it sounds like it was.
Then it probably wouldn't be good for very long because then the evidence can deteriorate. Mm-hmm. But if it was like sealed properly and everything, it can be good for a while, for a hot minute.
Hmm.
Yeah. The sweater and boots were found near the edge of the reservation near a town called Babb. Near this location is a lake house owned by a man named Sam McDonald. Ashley knew Sam, who was about 50 at the time of Ashley's disappearance. And she knew him from hanging out with a crowd who were using drugs. Ashley began using drugs after the death of her grandfather, so she struggled to cope with that. And Sam did admit that he knows Ashley and had spent time with her partying, but that he says he's being framed. He claims that he had picked Ashley up June 6th and that he last saw Ashley June 11th after he drove her to a roadside pull-off so she could meet up with someone named V-Dog, whose real name is Paul Valenzuela. He was in his 50s at the time and does have a criminal background with burglary and weapons charges.
Wow, these are some just great characters. they're not.
No, they're really not. There is a rumor that Paul's wife, Tashina, who is also Ashley's cousin, had caught Ashley with her husband, so kind of like a love triangle, an affair type of thingy, and that potentially Paul and Ashley were together. And so the theory is that Tashina took her revenge.
Oh.
However, when family talked to Tashina and Paul, they got conflicting stories, and both deny they know what happened to Ashley.
They're in on it together.
I mean, we don't know.
I'm just what-ifing all of it. Okay, continue.
What if? So law enforcement did search a trailer that Valenzuela had stayed at and that Ashley had visited the summer she went missing. Ashley's family got an opportunity to search the trailer in 2018.
When did she go missing again? What year?
2017. Let me double check because now I have a bunch of dates in my head. Yeah, 2017.
Okay.
So a year later, they got permission to search that same trailer.
The law can change in a year.
Oh, yeah. And the trailer is not preserved properly. So, like,
yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. It did take 18 months for Ashley's name to be made public on the National Missing and Unidentified Person System.
That's insane. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
So it brings about a lot of those concerns of, like, when a white girl goes missing, it's headline news that same day.
Yeah.
Whereas poor Ashley.
Yeah.
They really dragged their feet on it. Took 18 months to put her in the National Missing and Identified Person System. Yeah. All because, what, she's not white? Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
9 months after Ashley disappeared, the FBI took over the case. Her family is still looking for her, but does not receive updates on the case from the FBI since it's an open investigation. So usually investigators give the family some information, some updates, but they try not to give them things that are really pertinent to the case so that nothing gets leaked, because there are people who confess to things they didn't do. But from what I could find, it sounds like the FBI is being really close-lipped on it. And there's questioning on whether they're actually doing anything. Or if they are doing things and are trying to, like, really maintain the integrity of the case.
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing anything.
I honestly don't know. If you guys look into this story yourself, you'll see that the FBI, it will reference that they're in the Salt Lake area. This case is in Montana. However, I don't know how the FBI designates their cases and regions. The Salt Lake City FBI offices are the ones dealing with this case.
Interesting.
So it's a little weird.
Well, I know that, yeah, there's regions or whatever within the FBI, and I think, like, their region, like, covers, like, certain areas
yeah,
jurisdictions or whatever.
But there is also conflicting information on when she actually went missing. So I went with what I saw most often and what was on most of the missing persons flyers and everything. And they reference that she was last seen the week of the 13th. But you will see some places saying last seen June 5th, because that's a confirmed sighting. They have a recording of her. But we do have Sam McDonald, who said, no, I dropped her off June 11th. So, along with the rumor that Tashina and Paul had something to do with Ashley's disappearance, there is a theory that Ashley was trafficked, as there was an increase in reported human trafficking in Montana in 2015 and 2016.
Interesting. Like, I don't know. It's just, there's so many, like, holes to this.
Yes.
That it's just, like, it's sad.
Mm-hmm. On top of that, there is a third theory. That theory is that Ashley ran away. So since Paul does have ties to Washington, and he did serve some time in Washington, there is speculation that Ashley ran away to Washington with Paul.
I thought they interviewed Paul. No, Paul.
The family talked to Paul and Tashina, and they gave conflicting stories.
Oh.
And so they don't really know what's up with that.
Is Paul and Tashina aren't together? Are they?
I don't know if they are anymore. Oh. At the time of the disappearance, they were married.
Gotcha.
To each other.
Interesting.
So much. There is a 2-day event and an Ashley's Walk held every year to honor Ashley, as well as to bring awareness to other cases of Indigenous people. Hmm. There is also currently a $50,000 reward for information. However, Ashley's body has never been found.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, but you only have, would you say 13 officers for a 1,500 square or acre?
A 1.5 million acre reservation. Acre. And there's 17 tribal police. And they have heard too from like other podcasts on missing Indigenous people that that seems to be pretty common across the board for reservations, that they don't have enough tribal police.
Yeah. That's so much area.
This is a ton of area. They, one report was saying that like that's essentially the size of Delaware. And so imagine policing Delaware with only 17 officers. Yeah. It's going to get rough.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's insane.
There's also an active Facebook page called Find Ashley Loring Heavy Runner. And I did get to see a documentary based on this. It was on the show Never Seen Again. It's season 2, episode 3. You actually get to see the mom and the sister interviewed. I thought it was very informative and a good watch, better than the Unsolved Mysteries from the past cases. So, okay. Yeah. So I do recommend seeing that one. But yeah.
Wow.
Poor Ashley.
Yeah.
Who knows where she's at?
Nobody.
And
well, it seems somebody.
Like nobody's really interested in finding her, along with many other women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad and almost slightly disgusting in a way. Like, just like the whole, I don't know. You'd think that like within our country, like we'd be a little bit more adamant about like taking care of our own a little bit. And like, I mean, everybody, mm-hmm. but, sadly that we have these different cases that are like, really? And then it's like, oh, no one really cared. But yeah. Then you have like other stories where it's like headline news and they find her within 3 weeks. And,
yeah. Yeah.
Or I mean 3 weeks, I mean 3 days or whatever. And yeah.
It's pretty unfortunate. There definitely needs to be more done to help them. There's several like things that are trying to go through for like acts and stuff, but it's hard because they can't get hard numbers on how many are actually missing because like the reporting in general is not great. As I told earlier, 6,000 women were missing in 2016 and only 116 were actually logged.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think, I guess part of me is like, I don't fully understand like the whole keeping a case, like integrity, like keeping it from the public or keeping it from even the family. But I think there's a part of me that's like, you see the internet and everything as a whole, like if people gather together and go, okay, let's find this person.
Yeah, those armchair detectives.
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
Are they?
Yeah, that's their little nickname. It's the people at home that are like, they dive deep into cases and try to help solve them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are not that. We just talk about them.
Yeah, we just talk about them. I'm not saying that we, but like maybe like the internet can do their thing.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that there's some good rationale for keeping some things of the case not public. You know, a lot of times they'll do the murder weapon they won't make public because those people who confess falsely, sometimes they'll also keep it under wraps on like people that they're looking really hard at because they don't want those people to get spooked and take off.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So there's some elements I get, and then some elements I'm like, you really can't tell anybody if that stuff's been tested or not.
Yeah.
Some. I don't know.
Like, was that hers? Like, was it, has it been tested? Why hasn't it been tested? When will it be tested? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it's still sitting in the closet? Okay, you guys suck.
Right, get to it. Yeah. But yeah, so that's the case of Ashley Loring Heavy Runner.
You know, the sad part about it is there's probably been like seven more since hers.
Well, hers was 2017, so there's definitely been more than seven more.
Oh, more than seven.
That have gone missing?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That's pretty...
Yeah, I guarantee it. Just in Montana, and maybe even just the Blackfeet Reservation. I don't know.
That's disgusting.
It is pretty bad.
Yeah. So, anyway, is this the end of it?
This is the end of it. Okay. So, check us out next time for a new episode next Thursday.
Give us a rating on Apple iTunes or podcast, Apple Podcast.
Wow, the pods with apples.
Yeah. And then the Spotify's, we're on the Amazon Music's, whatever else.
Wherever you find us.
Yeah, YouTube. We're on the YouTube.
And do all the things.
Subscribe, like, follow. Yeah, if you want to see our faces, we're on YouTube.
I would 10 out of 10 watch at your own risk.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, guys.